Once you get them, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Raise your hand nice and high if you need one. I want to be able to show you that God is saying this and not me. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 1. We'll kind of go through a lot of chapter 5 tonight. So as you are turning there, can I have a couple volunteers? And to kind of get an object lesson in our head, we're going to play a quick game of being boozled and make a couple points out of it. So I'm going to have Seth Kavanaugh, and let's have Connor Dawson. Sure, you can come on up. Now, how many of you have ever played Bean Boozled before? Okay, so Bean Boozled is this game where I'm going to get all these jelly beans out, and I'm going to get all the same color. Okay, so both of these guys have kind of a fair shot. Now, I'm going to put these back in, and you each get one of these. And the color that I chose, they are either dead fish or strawberry banana smoothie. Now, before you guys, both of them would be kind of gross to me. Now, before you guys eat them, I would like you to take a look at those jelly beans. And can you have any clue about which flavor is going to be inside that jelly bean? Does anything give you any clue? How about you smell a little bit? Then you can smell through there. The dead fish one is gross. That's the worst one, I will warn you. So you're going to either, in a second, you're going to chomp into some dead fish, or you're going to chomp into some strawberry banana smoothie, which I might be really weird here, but anybody else, when they drink a smoothie, like, I just feel like they're hairy.
Yes.
Smoothies are like hairy to me. They're really disgusting. I don't know why. I feel like there's hair in smoothies. So anyway, now, when I say go, I would like you guys, they have no clue what's going to be inside. You guys are going to chomp down on those jelly beans. On your mark, get set, and go, and you cannot spit them out.
Dead fish.
It takes a second for it to sink in. I think he likes it. Oh, he got the dead fish, I think. You got, oh good, they both got dead fish. So congratulations. I don't know which is which, you can't tell. Now, that was a really... That was a really kind of dumb way. That was a really kind of dumb way to transition into what we're talking about. But it's an illustration many of you would probably be familiar with if I did it another way that you've heard it before. But tonight, when they looked at those jelly beans, they looked the same on the outside. But really, if they had no clue what was inside. It could have been good, it could have been bad, and obviously when they bit into it, something either good or bad came out of it. And apparently both of them were bad. So dead fish and dead fish, congratulations. They both got bad jelly beans, okay? Now, the point I'm trying to make with that is some of you tonight are attempting to do with your lives something very similar to what the makers of that game have done with those jelly beans. They attempt purposely to make something look very similar on the outside to kind of trick you. And then as soon as you bite into it, it takes a couple seconds to set in, but all of a sudden you realize that there is something different going on inside those jelly beans. You have no clue what's inside. And some of you have worked very hard to try to make yourself on the outside look good. You have tried to act like a Christian. You have tried to do everything you know that people expect from you at church. But really, when pressure comes, and really on the inside, we can't look at you and tell what's going on in your heart. Only you and God know that. And sometimes we deceive even ourselves into thinking that we're okay, but really once we really dive down in deep, there's problems. There have been many husbands and many wives, 6 months after the wedding ceremony, they've realized that all of a sudden they've been Bean Boozled. They married somebody that they thought was completely different, and now their true colors are coming out, and they look completely different than before they got married. And maybe you're here tonight, and you are trying to pass yourself off as looking good on the outside. But on the inside, you and God both know that there's quite a few issues. And that's going to show itself in your life in many different ways. It's going to be symptoms of the real problem, but you are trying to do right, maybe, and you're trying to do good, but you're trying to do it on your own. You're trying to do it in your own strength. And read Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 with me. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And he's making a point here. Christ has set us free, and he says, do not place yourself again under the slavery of trying to be good on your own. A word that all of us have heard before, probably don't know what he means. He's talking about legalism. Thinking that doing good is going to make you look good before God and before people. But really, God sees what's going on in your heart. In verses 1 through 12, Paul then expresses a lot of regret about someone who's come into the Galatian church, and they have taught them that they have to go back to following the Old Testament law in addition to faith in Jesus Christ. Specifically in one area, circumcision. And if you don't know what that is, ask your parents. I'm not going to explain it tonight. But it is something that the Jewish people had to do in order to show their commitment to God. And so people came into this church and said, hey, you've got to keep with the Old Testament tradition, the Old Testament law. And Paul's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's slavery. That's bondage after you've come to Christ. And tonight, a lot of us are kind of in that same cycle. And some of you, whether you're a believer or not, have fallen for that same lie. You may not say it, but you may think it. And even though you know that, hey, legalism, it's not really taught as like, hey, this is good. Usually it's legalism is bad. In our own minds, we have thoughts that, hey, if I don't earn my way into heaven, what other way is there? If my good doesn't outweigh my bad, how am I getting into heaven? Or maybe, hey, if I don't do enough good things, God is going to love me less. If I don't obey his commands, God is going to love me less than he does right now. And guys, that can get you into a cycle of slavery and bondage to where you're constantly trying to keep up and you can't do it on your own. Paul calls it bondage. He calls it slavery. You might think, I've got to make God love me. But if we paraphrase what Paul is saying a little bit, Paul is saying if you were trying to be right with God through doing good things and looking good on the outside and conforming to this image of what people think you should look like, the law, you've been severed from Christ. Verses 2 through 4, he actually says, Christ has become of no effect to you. He says, you have fallen from grace. And those are some pretty strong words. That we've fallen from the grace of Jesus Christ. And guys, you can't be saved by your good works, but also you can't grow by your good works. Just because you are growing, that is a symptom of God's grace being worked out in your life. It's a result of Christ working in you, not that you earn God's favor. You don't grow closer to God by being good. Now, read verse 13. This is where we're going to spend a majority of the time tonight. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. You've been called unto freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. He's basically saying, don't use your freedom in Christ. Don't abuse God's grace just so you can fulfill the lust of your flesh. And then he says in the last half of verse 13, but by love, serve one another. That's the contrast. Instead of serving yourself, you're supposed to serve other people. So Paul emphasizes this truth throughout Galatians chapter 5. You can only look to Christ for your freedom. You can only find freedom in Jesus Christ. We'll unpack what that means in just a minute. Let's ask God for wisdom. Father, I fall short. I know that in myself, I have nothing profitable to say. I pray that you would fill the gaps tonight where I fall short and where I am even relying on myself, where there's pride in my heart that I have not seen. But Lord, I just pray that you would work despite me, that your word would be very clear, that the truths tonight would impact us, would change us, and that we would love you more. Father, so often we try to conform so that you will love us, but we should be transformed because you love us. And help us to give our lives a living sacrifice, and that we would honor you in our thoughts. And Lord, keep us alert tonight. Help us not to be distracted by others or by things. And may your will be accomplished in Christ's name. Amen. We are called to look to Christ for our freedom in this passage. He talks about liberty. He talks about freedom. Why? Why should Christ be the only place I look for my freedom? Because we look for freedom in a lot of different places. Number one, first thing Paul says is, your flesh brings destruction. Galatians chapter 5, let's read on for a few more verses, starting in verse 14. I'm sorry, verse. Let's go down to verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, All those things have to do with sexual sins. Verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I missed verse 20. Let's back up to that. This is more sin that comes from the flesh. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Guys, that is a long list. There's fighting. There's immorality. There is spiritual sins in the spiritual realm, witchcraft. And when you think of freedom, you probably think of doing whatever you want, whenever you want it. If you as a teenager think of freedom, you probably think something like, you know what, I can't wait to get out of the house. I can have my own apartment. I can watch what movies I want, play what video games I want, go where I want. I can have all this freedom. And that's typically what we associate with freedom. But really what we see in this passage, in those verses, is giving into the flesh is dangerous. All of those things that we think are huge, huge sins, we take small steps to them every time we give into our flesh. That list of sins is pretty daunting. And guys, if we're honest, it's very destructive. But also, if we're honest, we know deep down that our flesh is drawn to many of them. Our flesh unbridled will come out in that list of sins. If we don't have something to control us and we think, hey, you know what, freedom's going to be great, but what we come to find out is we're enslaved to sin. That flesh controls us. And according to the CDC, Center of Disease Control, an average of 40,000 to 80,000 new cases of AIDS are reported each year in the United States. And pretty much half of them are from people under 25. People thinking, hey, I'm free. I'm out of my parents' house. They go out, they give in to sexual sin. And this isn't always a consequence, but it is a consequence of sin, guys. STDs, AIDS. Did you know that in America, on average, two young people are infected with HIV every hour of every day? People are giving in to sin, and it is warped, and it is perverted, and there's consequences. It's destructive. Also, something else that we associate with freedom. Hey, you know what? I'm going to go out, and hey, what's wrong with one drink? And pretty soon we're enslaved to it. Nearly 88,000 people die from alcohol-related causes annually in the United States. That means that is the third leading preventable cause of death in America. Choices have consequences. Sin has consequences. And guys, the very sins that are listed here, the ones that we think are like equal with freedom, I'm going to go out and do what I want, no one can tell me what to do, they have consequences. And in fact, even in this passage, God says that if these sins are habitually part of your life, they are who you are, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sin separates us from God. Giving into your flesh is dangerous. Doing whatever you want, whenever you want, is not freedom. Ask those who have done it. They've had life experiences. They regret it. In Romans 6, it says that God has set you free from sin. And maybe you're here tonight and sin is really all you know. You don't know how to say no to temptation. You don't even really know what it means to feel convicted for your sin. The Holy Spirit isn't living inside of you, and maybe for a long time you've been putting on a show, trying to look good on the outside, and you've been thinking, hey, you know what, I'm just going to bide my time until I can have freedom. I'm out from this church thing, from my parents. And guys, God gives warnings. If you give into your flesh, it is dangerous, and if it's a habitual part of your life, it shows there's not regeneration. Guys, if this is something that's in your life all the time, you need to examine your salvation. The Bible says that the fearful and unbelieving and all liars, and to summarize, sinners, have their place in the lake of fire. They have their place in hell. There's consequences for just following after the flesh. But to save you from hell, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who is God, to take your place on the cross. He gave up His freedom so that He could free you from the curse of sin. And so often we know our flesh longs for that, and all of a sudden we enslave ourselves to it. And maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible also says that the wages of your sin is death, is hell. But Jesus Christ took your place. He took the punishment. He took those wages of your sin on the cross. And 3 days later, to have victory over that sin and death, He rose again. And guys, I'm here to tell you tonight, through experience and from God's Word, you can have victory over that sin that you feel enslaved to tonight. And those of you who are struggling with, you know what, I just can't wait to get out, there's hope and there's victory for you as well. And guys, the Bible says clearly, if you're here tonight and you're like, you know what, I know I'm not saved. We'd love to show you from God's Word how you can trust Christ. The Bible says, believe in His name and thou shalt be saved. But also, we have to look only to Christ for our freedom. He does give freedom from sin. That's talked about in Romans 6. But in here in Galatians chapter 5, that's not the freedom that Paul is actually talking about in verse 1. He is talking to believers. He's talking to people who have already trusted Christ as their Savior. So what kind of slavery can we enter into as believers? And it's legalism. Number 2, relying on your flesh is discouraging. As a believer, if you rely on yourself to do good things and earn your favor with God, guys, you're going to get in this cycle of discouragement. For me to follow God's Word and obey God's Word on my own, I know it's going to be discouraging, and we just read what comes from our flesh. All of that list of sins that was very lengthy, that's what our flesh produces. And if you're like me and you read that list, it's scary. That's what our flesh longs for and craves after. And once you are saved and forgiven, going back to the law enslaves you. And guys, this isn't something that we typically struggle with in our society, except in our mind. We typically think, like we already said, hey, you know what? I failed God so many times. He must really not like me today. He must really be sad with who I am. He's not pleased to call me His child. And we think, you know what, I've got to work and do good for another couple weeks in order to make up for what I've already done. And that really is a legalistic mindset, that we've got to earn God's favor. And you're going to be caught up in this confusing web of like do's and don'ts. Hey, this is good, this is bad, and it's going to be constantly confusing. And honestly, I think that's what has sent many people, young people, away from the church and away from Christ. I can't keep up with this. But really, instead of relying on the Lord, we're relying on ourselves to try to manufacture our own righteousness, even after we're believers. And Paul calls that slavery. He says, don't go back to that mindset. There's no real change if you don't really change your heart. You're just changing your behavior. How many of you have ever heard in science class or maybe psychology class, you've ever heard of Pavlov's dogs? Anybody ever heard of Pavlov? Okay, we got a couple of you. He did a psychology experiment. I'll explain it to you. And I believe he was a Russian scientist. Pavlov would make me believe that. And he had some dogs in a room that basically he was going to, for whatever reason, he was going to measure their response to food. So he would bring food into the room and he would want to measure how much saliva they produced in response to food being visible. Kind of a gross experiment. So after doing this for a while, he had his lab assistant go in, and every time the lab assistant would go in, they'd bring food. But after a while, he started to notice that every time the lab assistant came in without food, the dogs would start producing more and more saliva. They'd have this response. They'd have this behavior in response to the lab assistant coming in. So he decided to do another experiment. Right before he brought in food, he'd ring a bell. He did that for a while, and then the dogs came to know that that bell meant food. So now, after a while, he'd just stop bringing food in, but he'd ring the bell, and they'd still start slobbering all over themselves. But the reason I brought that up, and the point I'm trying to make is, after a while, do you think that those dogs had any type of affection or desire to play with that lab assistant? No. All they cared about was the food. All they cared about and loved was what came along with that food when that lab assistant walked into the room. And guys, is that your relationship with God? You have a response to the good things that He brings to you. You have a response and you desire people looking good upon your life just because of the way you act. Hey, I'm going to act this way because I'm going to have a good reputation. My life's going to be easy. And you just behave a certain way just because you know that it's going to have good results. It's all about you. It's not all about God. Do you have a desire for God or just the good things that He brings to you? You're not really changing your heart. You're only just changing your behavior. You're putting on a show. And guys, that's an empty relationship. It's slavery. And it's going to become very discouraging very quickly when you are not able to continue to manufacture your own righteousness. When you do give in to your sin, when you give in to temptation, you're going to become very discouraged. We can't look to our flesh for our freedom. That's what the world thinks. But also, we as believers can't rely on our flesh to give ourselves liberty or get good standing with God. I can only look to Christ for my true freedom. Why? Because my flesh brings destruction, but also, number two, the Spirit brings deliverance. Look at chapter 5, verse 22. Well-known passage. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Guys, you've heard me say something very similar to this in the past. An apple tree cannot produce bananas. My flesh cannot produce that list we just read. My flesh cannot produce love. But sometimes I rely on it too. You know what? I'm just going to love that person even though they really annoy me. My flesh cannot produce joy. It can't produce peace in my relationships with God and with people. My flesh is not going to produce patience. I'm going to become very irritable. And guys, my flesh cannot produce my freedom. I can't get rid of sin in my own strength. And so often that's what we try to do. The fruit of your life, your actions, your words, what comes out of you, it really depends on what you are rooted to. Where are you getting your nourishment? Where are you getting your philosophy of life? Is it from TV or is it from the Bible? Is it from friends or is it from the Bible? Because again, simply trying to get rid of that sinful fruit that comes out of our life, our anger, our bitterness, our wrath, our cursing, trying to get rid of those things, you're just trying to take care of the surface level. We're not really getting down deep into our heart, and we're just trying to change our behavior so that we get good things. And the same problem is going to come back. Maybe it's going to come back in a different way. It flushes itself out very differently in a different sin, but that same idol of my heart is going to produce sin. Jesus taught about this in Matthew chapter 7. Listen closely, you don't have time to turn there. He says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? No, they don't go to a thicket to grab grapes. Or figs of thistles. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." And guys, you cannot produce good works from your flesh. We think we can do it on our own, but the Spirit is the only source of godly actions and attitudes. Are you relying on yourself? That's going to lead to slavery. Or are you relying on Christ because that's where your freedom comes from? The only way you can have freedom from sin and even the guilt and anxiety about not being able to keep up comes from Jesus Christ. You can't live a godly life on your own, and you don't have to. Guys, I am thankful in my yard that I've only got one tree. Most of you are like, what? But here's the reason why. In the fall, I don't have to rake leaves. I have one tiny tree in the very back corner of our yard, and pretty much the wind blows it into our neighbor's yard. So I don't have to rake leaves. But I did grow up where basically there was 4 acres of woods behind my house. So I played in the woods all the time, and one of the things that I noticed is that there are some trees in the fall that don't lose all their leaves. Evergreens, they're pines, but also there's a certain type of oak, I believe it is, that they don't lose their leaves. They stay on, and throughout the whole winter, they're kind of brown. They look dead, they're nasty, they're disgusting. But then as soon as spring comes, that sap starts flowing through the tree again. Nourishment starts going up to those branches, and the tree starts to bud and bring forth new leaves. Guess what it does with those old ones? It pushes them off. The old, dead leaves fall to the ground. And so often we try in our own strength just to rip off those leaves without trying to bring new life, spiritual life, into our souls, into our minds. We try to do it in our own strength instead of relying on the Holy Spirit. God is the only source of godly actions. And guys, once saved, once you look to Christ, that new life of the Holy Spirit is going to flow through you, and it's going to overflow out of you with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, meekness. All of those things we just read of. All of those former sins are going to go away as that new life, you are sanctified and grow stronger in you, and you go closer to the Lord. We look for freedom in all of the wrong places. We've got to run to God. And rather than trying to rip off all of our sin by ourselves and just say, you know what, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to get angry. We've got to run to God's Word and the Holy Spirit. And guys, this does not mean that we do absolutely nothing. Hey, you know what, Lord, I'm just not going to do anything. You've got to do it all. The Lord works through very specific avenues. The Holy Spirit changes you through His Word. The Holy Spirit changes you through prayer. That is how you walk in the Spirit. This book was written by the Spirit. And when I walk according to what this book says, that is when I am walking in the Spirit. When I pray, I'm having fellowship with God through the Spirit. The Spirit prays for me. I also grow through fellowship. I grow through worship by coming to church. And guys, we can't just sit back and hope that we change without doing absolutely anything. But we have to trust God and do our own part, because only through Christ can we have freedom. And so what we really understand from Scripture is that you must be rooted to Christ. And so tonight was kind of by way of introduction, because so often we need deliverance from that cycle of anxiety that we feel that, hey, I'm not good enough, I'm not living up to how I'm supposed to live as a Christian. And we get into that legalistic mindset. For me to have victory in my life, I must be rooted to Christ. So for the rest of the few weeks in the spring, excuse me, in the winter, next few weeks, we're going to start a new series called Rooted. And really the theme verse I want us to focus on and really pull application from is Colossians 2 verses 6 through 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Guys, the only way you're going to see spiritual growth in your life is if you are rooted to Jesus Christ and you are walking in the Spirit. Don't make Christ of no effect in your life, as Galatians 5 says, by trying to do it all in your own strength. And guys, the fruit of your life is pretty obvious to other people. People can see your anger. People hear your words, whether they're good or whether they're bad. But the condition of your heart, what's going on inside, is not so obvious. Because out of the heart come the issues of life. And you can do your best to hide it, but what ends up happening is something like this. We repent of our sin only when we're caught. And we only care about the consequences. We don't care about the one who died on the cross for that sin that we've been hiding for months or years. In 2 Corinthians 7, that godly sorrow worketh repentance. It also says that worldly sorrow only cares when they get in trouble. Does that describe you? Or on the other hand, are you rooted to Jesus Christ and your desire is to walk in Him, to be like Him, to be grounded in Him? Or is there no sorrow over sin unless you're caught? Maybe you have been knowingly and willingly committing the same sin over and over again for months or years, and maybe you've gotten to the point where you've almost given up. There's no way for me to get over this. There's no way for me to get help. There's no way I can come over it. And you just think to yourself, you know what? Nobody's going to know. That guilt and that conviction is long gone. You have quenched the Spirit in your life. And it's starting to manifest itself in a lot of different sins that people are able to see. Anger. Immorality. All those things we just read about. And guys, are you using your devices when your parents have specifically told you not to? They'll never find out. You're sinning. Do you even care? Do you use your devices for things you specifically know they've told you not to look at, and according to your walk with the Lord, you shouldn't be having any part of? But again, no one knows about it, so it's okay. Guys, you've got something going on in your heart that ought to scare you. Because out of that are going to come all kinds of other problems. The problem is not your parents. or that their rules are stupid. You know what really the problem is? The problem is that your heart loves your devices and what you're doing on your devices more than the love of your parents. That God has placed in your life and has said, obey them because they watch for your souls. And something that seems small and menial, guys, it ought to raise some red flags. God has told us to respect and honor our parents, but the ultimate problem is that your heart is rooted to your own desires rather than God's desires. You want what you want, and you're going to get it no matter what. You have not allowed yourself to come to the place where godly sorrow works repentance. You're still trying to hide it. You're still trying to put on the show for everyone around you. And really, there are some very alarming things that God warns us against. Don't trust in your flesh. It overflows into all of these sins. But then you're trying to look good on the outside, and you're in this cycle of slavery to your sin and legalism. And at the root of our sin, there's a much bigger problem than what shows up on the outside. This problem reaches down to the very core of who we are. The sin problem can surface in many ways. And guys, in your life, does it manifest itself in lying? You think, oh, that's not a big deal. It's a symptom of something bigger. Does your sin manifest itself in the form of unlovingly spreading rumors about others? About immorality? What about gossip? What about anger? What about what many would call bullying today? What about disobedience, willingly disobeying your authorities? What about rebellion? Guys, all of these things are symptoms of a bigger problem that's going on in our heart. Maybe it's stealing. Maybe it is pornography. Maybe it is a refusal to forgive. Maybe it's that rebellion again. Guys, how is your idolatry of your heart coming out? You can't just say, you know what, I'm going to stop lying. That's going to solve the problem. Because you lied shows that you loved something else in your heart more than God. And over the next few weeks, we're going to figure out how we can be rooted to Christ. So that all those sin fruits, we can get down to the root of them, rip them up, and be rooted to Jesus Christ. Guys, the things we just talked about, that's what comes from the flesh. And I think that all of you would agree with me that I don't want any of those things. They're going to get out of control. They're going to own me. But When we think in our own hearts, you know what, this is my life. Leave me alone. Let me do what I want. I got this. These are the results we're asking for. Guys, our freedom only comes from Jesus Christ. And again, why should I do that? It's not so that I gain God's favor. As you go through God's word in the next few months, as we see God's heart, as you see God's heart for you, your heart is going to be drawn to Him. When you see His love, His patience, His mercy, His long-suffering, all of those things extended to you, your heart should be rooted to Him so that it's going to be easy. The Holy Spirit is going to push those sins out of your life because they disgust you. It says in verse 24, as we close, I'll close with this verse, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Are you willing to kill your flesh and your desires because you love God more? Father, we thank You for Your grace. And so often we do get caught up in the slavery of sin, but we thank You that in Christ You have set us free. And if we placed our faith in You, that is for eternity. But Lord, so often we do get stuck back in this cycle that we've got to perform in order to have favor with You. And if we can't perform well enough, we get discouraged and it becomes slavery to us. And Lord, I pray for these young people that while they are young, as they're maturing into adults, that they would anchor and root their hearts to You, and that they would be able to get rid of those sins that are visible to others and to themselves by looking deep down in their hearts about what they love more than You. And Lord, as we look at these root sins over the next few weeks and months, I just pray that You would do a work in our hearts, that You would change our youth group, that Your word would be powerful, that Your word would divide our hearts, that we'd be able to see what we've been blind to, and that we'd be willing to change to become like Christ. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. Again, I'm not going to stretch this out. Maybe you're here tonight and you've realized you're not saved. Maybe you've realized, you know what, Pastor Brandon, I've been lying to a lot of people for a long time. And tonight I really want to get that settled. I don't want to be fake anymore. I don't want to be just looking good on the outside. And I know I can't earn my own freedom from sin. I need to come to Christ. And you want to get saved tonight? If you could just raise your hand. Again, I never want to take it for granted just because you've gone to church your whole life that you're saved. I had many friends, very similar to a setting like this, who now profess to be atheists. And guys, I pray for you. Because I really do believe, and I don't have anyone specifically in mind, that there's some in here who aren't saved. Don't let something of this world get in the way of your relationship with God. But also, maybe you're here tonight and you realize, you know what, Pastor Brandon, there are a lot of things that I've kind of sloughed off as not a big deal. But God did show me tonight that really, my root problem is idolatry. And I've got some business to do with God tonight as I go home. And you'd be willing to admit that. I'd like to pray for you as well. If you just raise your hand, that there are some things coming up in my life that simply, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. That I need to uproot. And guys, I think if we're all honest, we go in and out of that all the time. And again, if you are here and you're like, hey, you know what, I want somebody to talk to tonight, if you just raise your hand, I'm not going to stretch that out at all, but you'd like some advice, some counsel, someone to pray with, we'd love to do that. Father, I thank you for this group, and I thank you for their attentiveness tonight. I pray that you'd work in their hearts according to your will, that again, you would have guarded my lips from saying anything that is against your word or your character. I've sought to be faithful to your word. I pray that your word would be effective in our hearts and that we would love you and cling to you and that we would be rooted in who you are in Christ's name. Amen. All right, guys, you are dismissed. If you could help by cleaning up a little bit, if there's trash on the floor, that'd be great. Please don't take food into the other rooms. You are dismissed.